We have an outline here that you can follow along and take some notes, and any extras we can put in the back so anybody who comes in late can get one of those. Please take one and follow along as we look to the Word of God today. First of all, I want to announce, and you have this in your bulletins, the flyer starts out not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. And that would be July the 30th, Monday, July the 30th to August the 3rd. We have the VBS. And this year, VBS is meeting at Shawnee Bible Church. And we're participating with them together as we work together, our third year working together with VBS. And so if you have any questions, if any of you would like to help, Julie probably could answer questions about that. And be in prayer for the VBS. And please invite any children or families that you know of. And so keep that in your prayers. And just like you to know that. And I hope everybody here gets one of these outlines here. Today we're looking at David and Michael. Last week we mentioned David. Today we're doing more with David. And next week we're going to do David again. And so we're looking here at Saul's daughter, Michael, was in love with David. And let's bow our hearts and our heads in prayer together. Father, we thank you for this day. And we come before you. We do pray you'd pour out your Spirit to us. And your blessing would be here, that we would sense your presence. We ask your blessing also upon the mission team that's in Taiwan. And continue to be with Robert and Jean and Jacob there and the rest of the team that's this week. I think they're going to the prisons and other areas. And so we pray that you would bless them. We continue to pray for the CYIA youth as they go and have five-day clubs. And we pray next Monday as the VBS starts. And Lord, we pray your blessing be upon that. Lord, we ask as we come here to worship you and to give you praise that our hearts would meet with you today and your Spirit would anoint your servant. Speak to our hearts, we ask. And Lord, teach us that which you would have for us today. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. And we pray that this message would speak to our hearts in ways that we would do what you would have us to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think the first question we might ask this morning is this question here. What does love mean? What does love mean? And as we think about this question, what does love mean? I think I would say that I would struggle with how do I show love in my marriage? How do I show love in my family with my children? How do I show love to others? And maybe that's a question that you would struggle with too. How do we show love? And so this is a very important question. So first of all, love, the Hebrew word here, to love or like, it can be used to describe a marital relationship between a man and a woman. We see it first appearing in Genesis chapter 24. It tells us here that Isaac loved Rebekah. But the next question we would ask then is what true love means. This word is used 32 times of God's love. It is used 19 times of human love for God. That includes His name, His law, His precepts, His commands. And so, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5. The great statement of faith in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Another word for love is the word hesed. It is defined as kindness, love, loyalty, mercy. It's translated different ways in the English Bibles. It can be translated steadfast love, and that's what we sang this morning about God's steadfast love. A loyal love, an unfailing love, or loving kindness. And in the New Testament, agapo It describes the love also of a husband and a wife, Ephesians 5, and God's undeserved love for us. This is a word that is used especially in the New Testament to describe God's love. Another word we find for love in the New Testament is the word phileo, which can be used for relationships among human beings. And so as we think about true love, I want you to think about this quote here. Don't search for true love, but try your best to make your love true. May God make our loves true. And so as we look at that today, we might also consider the third question. What does false love mean? There's a true love, then what is a false love? What does that mean? And here we see in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1 that the Lord rebukes Israel because they had not shown true love. What did God say to Israel here? The Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. So there is true love and there is false love. We might compare these two to understand the difference between true love and false love. True love is unconditional. False love would be conditional. If you meet these conditions, then I will love you. True love lives for greater good. False love is selfish. Individualism, me is first. True love is eternal. False love is temporary. True love is unchanging and responsible. False love is changeable and irresponsible. True love is unique. And false love is give and remember greed, seeking self again. True love is absolute. False love can be enmity. True love is to give and forget. And then false love would be to discriminate. True love brings peace and happiness. And false love brings pain and sorrow. So we have in this world true love and false love. And so we have to take a look at our hearts. And what do we have in our hearts? What do we show to others? And that's the theme of our message today. Every person can show true love or false love. Which is it going to be? Showing true love or false love? You know, every state has a kind of a motto or a slogan. You know, in Missouri, it's called the Show Me State. It's like, show me the evidence. Show me state. And so we might think of this. What kind of love will you show? What kind of love will I show? And so I want us to look at here in this passage here in 1 Samuel 18 and consider what does God tell us about true love. And here are four examples for us. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, four examples. Our first example we see here is Jonathan. And take a note of this, that Jonathan showed true love. Jonathan took David to his own heart. And so as we look at Jonathan's true love, I want you to note that it was love with unselfishness. It tells us in verse 1 that Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. He became one in spirit. They were really an example of what a true friendship. Talked a little bit about true friendship last week. But true love we see in Jonathan and David. And remind ourselves of this, love your neighbor as yourself. Jonathan loved David as himself. And it was unselfishness. And then this love is also with faithfulness. Take note of that, with faithfulness. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. The two friends coveted that when David became king, Jonathan would be second in command. I mean, here's Jonathan, the son of the king Saul, who was really the next in line to become king. And yet he made this promise, this covenant. And he was faithful to that. And David also covenanted to protect Jonathan's family from being slain. And so their true love shows faithfulness. And then the third thing here is that love with kindness. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, the robe of the prince. He also took off along with his tunic and even his sword and his bow and his belt. He gave these as gifts to David, showing David not only how to be a soldier there as David entered the army and became one of the commanders, but also showing David what it was in the palace of the king. So when Jonathan gave his official garments and his armor to David, making him a friend, an equal, he showed David kindness. And so as we think about this, every person shows true love by loving with unselfishness, not thinking of ourselves, but thinking of the other person. Everyone shows true love when we show faithfulness to that person. We show kindness to that person. These are all evidences of true love. And then the next character, the next example we want to look at is, after Jonathan here, is example of Saul. Saul showed false love. At one time, Saul loved David. In fact, it tells us here in chapter 16, Saul liked him, liked David very much. This word idea of like very much is also the idea of love. He liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. All right? So, at the beginning, Saul loved David. But we see what happened to this love that Saul had. It became love with jealousy. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. Remember after he'd killed Goliath? And this also pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. And when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out of the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, and with joyful songs and timbrels and lyres, and they sang, they danced and they sang, "Saul has slayed his thousands, and David his 10,000s." So this became a popular song there in Israel, but it wasn't very popular with Saul. He didn't care much for this song. It caused him to be jealous of David. Look how David has become more popular with the people than I am. And so they sang this song. Saul killed his 10,000, his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so jealousy became. And that jealousy is a sign of false love. And then we see, secondly, not only was there jealousy, but we see that there love with anger. We talked a little bit last week about anger and controlling anger. But here, love with anger. Chapter 18, we see these words here. Saul was very angry. And this refrain displeased him greatly. He kept hearing this song. It was on the top 10. He kept hearing it over and over again. And it made him angry. Not only was he jealous, but he became angry. They had credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. No longer with the idea of love, but with jealousy and anger. He kept a close eye on David. And so, we see this, anger. And then the third thing here, that love with hatred. How can you have love with hatred? These are contradictory. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcibly on Saul. Now we understand this, that this was allowed, this evil spirit was allowed of God to come upon Saul, but Saul opened himself up to this already with his heart. His jealousy and his anger opened himself. He gave place to the devil and to the evil spirit here. And he was prophesying in his house, and when David was playing the lyre, as he usually did, Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. He tried to kill David out of his jealousy, out of his anger, and out of his hatred. You know, if we allow jealousy to grow, it grows into anger, and it grows into hatred. And love should not have hatred. We see today, so much around it, so much hatred, especially politically. There's so much hatred. And so we see this. And then number four, love with fear. Love with fear. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. And so David led the troops, and everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. But when Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. Fear? You know, it just kept growing and growing, this false love that Saul had. Jealousy, anger, hatred, and even fear of him. He had no reason to fear David. God was with him. Why would he fear David? But then it continued to grow, this false love that he had. Love with plotting. Plotting. Chapter 18, we read this. But all Israel and Judah loved David. He was loved by the people because he led them in their campaigns. And Saul said to David, "Here's my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me faithfully and fight the battles of the Lord." Saul said to himself, "I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do it." So now, rather than trying to kill him himself, he's plotting. How can I get the enemies, the Philistines, to kill him? How can I plot against him? And so we see that here. Saul plotting against. And then not only that, we see this false love with lying. Saul had promised to give one of his daughters in marriage to the man who killed Goliath. Remember that? Chapter 17. And David killed Goliath, but his promise had not yet been fulfilled. Saul had not given that daughter to him in marriage as he promised. But David said to Saul, "Who am I? And what is my family or my clan in Israel that I should become the king's son-in-law?" David was very humble about it. "I come from Bethlehem. My family. Who are we?" So when the time came for Merab, Saul's daughter, to be given to David, instead, he reneged Saul. Didn't fulfill his promise. She was given in marriage to another man. And so, we see how this false love, jealousy, hatred, you see that anger and fear and plotting and lying. And then, again, we see even more scheming. Now, Saul's daughter, Michal, was in love with David. Ah, here's another opportunity Saul thought he could use. And when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. "I will give her to him," he thought, "so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." So Saul said to David, "Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law." Now, Saul ordered his attendants, "Speak to David privately." You know, the scheming again. "Say these words to David. Look, the king likes you, and his attendants all love you. Now become his son-in-law." And they repeat these words to David. David again said, "Do you think it's a small matter to become the king's son-in-law? I'm only a poor man, a little known. And when David's servants told him what Saul's servants told David, what David had said, Saul replied, "Say to David, the king wants no other price than 100 Philistines to be killed and to take revenge on his enemies." And Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines. Okay, here's, at that time they would have a bride price. You're poor, you don't have money. That's okay. You kill 100 Philistines. And then the proof of their being killed, you bring before us, and Micah will be your wife. And so we see him again, scheming, plotting against David. And so every person shows false love by being jealous, angry, full of hatred, plotting, lying, and scheming. Kind of reminds you of Samson, Delilah. You know, false love. All this we see in her. And our third example, as we come here, Jonathan, our first example, true love. Our second example, that of Saul, false love. Our third example here is Michael, showed false love. Michael was in love with David. And again, it tells us Michael loved David. Now, let me suggest to you, though, this was love with self-seeking. It was the word we would call infatuated with. It means to be possessed by a foolish, unreasoning, or extravagant passion or attraction. If it could have been his appearance. David, you know, was a handsome young man. Maybe that she was infatuated by his appearance. Or maybe his reputation. He had killed Goliath. It was in the headlines. He had killed Goliath. Or his position. He was to be the king. Or the power that caused Michael's infatuation. And so we need to understand here the difference between love and infatuation. All right? You compare these two. Love, there is devotion. Infatuation is just an emotion. All right? You know, a lot of times this happens. A young person is infatuated by someone else. It's not really true love. It's just infatuation. Love is something you grow into. Infatuation is something you fall into. Love is a feeling of security. Infatuation is a feeling of uncertainty. Love is lasting. Infatuation is temporary. Love is in love with a person. Infatuation is love in love with love. I just want to have a boyfriend. I just want to have a girlfriend. In love with love. All right? Not with that person. Love says, "I love you." Infatuation says, "I want you." Love is strengthened by time, but infatuation is weakened by time. Love is based on shared experiences, beliefs, and attitudes. But infatuation is based on physical attraction or popularity. David was popular. Michael loved that about David. Love is not jealous. Infatuation is an inability to trust. Love, no, you can wait to marry. As you begin to know each other, get to know each other, and love, true love, knows you can wait for marriage. But infatuation is based on that sexual attraction. We see here love is also friends as well as lovers, whereas infatuation is no real friendship. And love wants what's best for the other person. That's the key. What is best for the other person? Infatuation wants what's best for themselves. What is best for me? And so we need to understand here that Michael's love was really infatuation with David. In fact, you could say this love was with idolizing. She idolized David. He was everything she had dreamed about. David was, he was so handsome, he was so, such courage, he was a good fighter, a good warrior. It's interesting here, Saul sent men to David's house to watch and to kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, if you don't run for your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed. So Michal let David down through a window and he fled and escaped. She saved his life here, which is good. But notice here, then Michal took an idol and laid it on the bed, covering it with a garment, and put some coat's hair on at the head, so that it would appear that David was in the bed. Now this idol that she had, I don't know, maybe she literally had an idol to God here. But in a sense, David became her idol. David became what she worshipped. David became her idol. Or maybe it was even her reminder of David, that idol. Maybe it was something that David belonged to David. But we see here also that there was love with lying. And when David sent the men to capture David, Saul sent the men to capture David, Michal said, "He is ill. He's sick. Don't bother him." And Saul said to Michal, "Why did you deceive me like this and send my enemy away so that he escaped?" And Michal told him, "He said to me, 'Let me get away. Why should I kill you?'" She lied to cover up what she did. She lied about what David had said. All right? So here we see evidences again of false love. And then as we look at Michal, becomes a love with a hardening heart. She followed her father's wishes, and her father made her marry another man to despise David. And she followed along. She hardened her heart and followed along the wishes of King Saul, her father. And later she was then delivered again to David's house. And then we see that the other thing about this love is it's despising and dishonoring. When she saw King David as he brought the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, Michal looked out her window and she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. It says here that she despised him in her heart. That's a sign of false love, to despise, to look down upon, to, it's a very strong word here. She despised him. How could the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in view of the slave girls of his servants as a vulgar fellow would? And we read this here, this end of that chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. The result was God did not allow Michal to have any children. She was barren. And so, again, every person shows false love by loving with self-seeking, idolizing, lying, hardening of the heart, despising, and dishonoring. These are characteristics of false love. Jonathan is an example of us true love. Saul is an example of false love. Michal is an example of false love. We come then to one more character. David showed true love. David had, first of all, a love for God. In Psalm 18, "I love you, Lord." Not only did he love God, but also we see here that in Psalm 119, "I love your law, I love your commandments." David not only loved God, but he loved the Word of God. He had a love for God. He had a relationship with God. He had a love for God. And so we see that when he brought the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem, David was so excited to bring back that Ark, the presence of God again, and he danced, he sang praises, he blessed God because of his love for God. And not only did he have a love for God, but he also had a love for others. As that ark was being brought back, he not only blessed God, but he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. He blessed the people. He loved God, he loved others. And then he returned to his home. It tells us here he returned to his home to bless his household. He had a love for his house, his home. So David showed true love, his love for God, his love for others, his love for his home. And every person shows true love by loving God and loving others. Remember how Jesus summarized all the law, the commandments? It could be summarized in these two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. That's the whole law summarized together and pictured for us here. To love God and to love others. And really, that speaks of our love for God, speaks of our relationship, our vertical relationship with God. And we ought to have that love for God. We ought to have that relationship with God vertically and then horizontally, our love for others. I often think of that, the picture of the cross. There's a horizontal beam pointing to our relationship with God, and there's the vertical beam, and then there's a horizontal beam, our love for one another. And so we see here what true love is and what false love is. And how do we show true love and how do we show false love? And so God is love. A biblical definition of love starts with God. God is love. It's His character that defines love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, we oftentimes have an opportunity to speak with someone, they're having marital problems or whatever, and a lot of times it can start with not just the relationship with one another, but the relationship with God. Who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then 1 John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Again, speaking of our relationship with God, if we are to live in love, we have to live in God, because God is love. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life, one's friends. A sacrificial love. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. And in the marriage, your brother in Christ, your husband or your sister in Christ, your wife, we ought to sacrificially lay down our lives for them and show love to them in that way. But God not only is love, but we see also that God is true love. This is love. Three times we see this phrase here in the epistles of John. This is love. This is true love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love for God, to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And again, we're reminded, this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. Now, I think of 1 Corinthians 13. It gives us a description of love. It lays it for us what true love and what false love really is. 1 Corinthians 13. And as we look at this, 1 Corinthians 13, I'd like you to read this with me, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. Together, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And so love is described both positively and negatively. Positively, love is eight things here. Love is patient, kind, rejoices with the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, always faithful. Negatively, love is not eight things. So these eight things is not, or false love is. Love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, and does not delight in evil. And so as we think about this love and try to understand what it means, I want you to get this picture in your mind of love, true love, and false love. As is presented to us in 1 Corinthians 13. And then I think we need to consider this. Can you imagine if we showed true love this week in our marriages, husband for wife and wife for husband, in our homes, parents and children, in our communities, and in our church, if we showed true love, can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine? And God help us this week to show love.